Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord to worship with you all this morning. I was looking up some things on the internet several weeks ago when I came across this headline with a photo of Stephen Colbert and Keanu Reeves that stated, "Profound answer goes viral." The Late Show host Stephen Colbert was interviewing actor Keanu Reeves, star of the movie Speed, The Matrix, and the John Wick series. At the end of that interview, Stephen Colbert asked this question. "What do you think happens when we die, Keanu Reeves?" Keanu paused and gave a sigh before saying these words. "I know that the ones who love us will miss us." The audience lets out a meek ah. Then erupts with applause, and Colbert reaches out and shakes the hand of Keanu and smiles. That's not a profound answer. Have you ever felt like you've totally wasted your time by clicking on a story or a short video about something? Here I was expecting something really profound and deep, and all I got from that answer from Keanu was just plain common sense. God's word tells us what happens when we die. The body is buried, will decay over time, and return to the dust of the earth. And we know what happens if one is cremated. You'll have an urn full of ashes. The spirit of the one who dies lives on for all eternity, either in heaven or in hell. What or who then determines your eternal home of heaven or hell? Because of sin and its condemnation, the sinner is already on the road to an everlasting hell. And it is the Almighty God, creator of all, designer of life after death, and the one who is the resurrection and the life that has stepped in and made a way for millions to know the blessed salvation of the Lord. The sovereign God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has planned it all. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the first two chapters of the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading the first 13 verses of chapter 1 and the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ himself, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation and fullness of time he might gather together in one all things, all in Christ, but both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated to according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now turn to chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow in your presence, Lord. We are so thankful for this great salvation we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. But there are those here who are still dead in their trespasses and sins, who have still not professed Jesus Christ to be their Savior, who are still walking blindly and lost and undone. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their sins. Convict them that they are truly on their way to hell without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we are thankful for this sacrifice that you've given to us in your blessed Son. And God, we pray for sinners today who are lost, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From these two chapters, as well as other passages of Scripture, we will clearly see that the Lord has planned the salvation of His children from start to finish. Children of God, are we not divinely blessed to have the Lord as our salvation? The Lord is our salvation. Without Him having loved us and setting His affections upon us, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins and on the road to hell. Throughout these first two chapters of the book of Ephesians, God's sovereignty is clearly manifested in producing our salvation. Chapter 1, verse 3, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through His shed blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 5 tells us God has made alive those who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 8, all this because of God and His amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. The salvation of the Lord is a free gift. It can't be earned. It's totally of grace. It's unmerited favor. Verse 9 says, not of works, therefore no one can boast. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 declares, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Although the salvation of the Lord is the absolute greatest gift offered to the human race for redemption, it came at an extremely high price. For the Lord our Savior, the only begotten Son of God, He paid an extremely high price for our redemption. Ephesians 1:7 declares that in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And Ephesians 2:13 says about the ones who have been saved by the grace of God, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The sinner is brought near and united with God by the shed blood of Christ, no longer separated by a great gulf or a wall of partition. That wall is broken down by the blood of Christ. We now have access to His Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father, through the blood and the sacrifice of Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to a few passages of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do you believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Turn over to, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, 21 through 24. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it had happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And I have the wrong passage, and I apologize for that. Let's try... see if it's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 21 through 24. Yes. Wrote down 2nd chapter. Well, I just read it wrong off my paper. My apologies. I have it 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 24 to 24. All right. Chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now turn with me back in the Old Testament, that blessed passage of Scripture found in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. We'll read that entire passage. Isaiah declares in chapter 53 of his book, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. But by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Beloved children of God, we are the reason that Christ suffered and died on the cross of Calvary. It is because of our sin. He knew no sin. He was perfect. He was a perfect Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. We are the reason he suffered and died so that we might have great redemption in Jesus Christ. We are the reason that he bore the shame and wrath of God and gave his life willingly because his divine love for us so that we might have blessed eternal life. We truly were given the gold mine, and Christ paid the very high price for our redemption. Because of what our Lord and Savior went through, the salvation of the Lord is absolutely priceless to the sinner. It brings the dead to life. It brings forgiveness and restoration. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb and saved by the marvelous grace of the Almighty God. God has paid the price for our sin. And it's a mighty price. We are now the adopted children of God and have full fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have been given an inheritance that shall never fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for us, as is declared in 1 Peter chapter 1, 4. Now, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and let's read verses 10 through 17. Romans 8, verses 10 through 17. Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In Christ we have been brought into the family of God and made heirs to the kingdom of God. Heaven and being joint heirs with Christ is our blessed inheritance. We have a divine inheritance. Ephesians 1:13 promises that after one has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, they are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit after redemption. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and guarantees our inheritance. Jesus himself wrote of this blessed eternal life that he provides and its security in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, and I'll just quote that here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This steadfast, sure, priceless salvation of the Lord delivers a multitude of spiritual blessings to aid the believer on his journey in this world. And for the sake of time, we are just going to list a few of those. We're not going to go into detail about these. Number one, the peace of God, understanding, knowledge, strength. He's our great provider, defense, shelter, hope, rock, fortress, great physician, great shepherd, mighty fortress. And we could list on and on what God and Jesus Christ is to the believer and is to us. Jesus truly is our all in all. Our text also shows us that the salvation of the Lord is for His glory and His good pleasure. He has chosen a people to be His children, a royal family. We are forgiven and blessed beyond measure, a people chosen and set apart to worship and serve Him. Turn back with me to our text in Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5 says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. We are both born in the flesh, and more importantly, born in the Spirit of the glory of God, and for the glory of God. We are born in the Spirit for the glory of God. Turn with me into the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and we'll read with me those first seven verses in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. This is talking about Jacob and the nation of Israel. Isaiah 43, first seven verses. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. He has paid the great price for our redemption. He has done the total work. It's all of grace, all of God. Our salvation has nothing to do with ourselves as far as earning it, not whatsoever. It's all by God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and God's precious gift of His Son and their shed blood that He paid on by shedding His innocent blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins. The salvation of the Lord is truly amazing. He deserves our highest praise and admiration for the work of securing and maintaining our great salvation. Lost friends and loved ones, you need this great salvation. And as you have heard preached this morning, you can do nothing to earn it. There's no amount of works that you can do to save yourselves from the condemnation of your sins. But thank God, there is hope. There is hope in Jesus. Jesus is your only hope of being freed from the chains and bonds of sin that hold you. Jesus stated these divine words in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Turn with me now in your Bibles to probably one of the most quoted Bible verses in the history of the world. John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3, 16, and we'll read through verse 21. You know the reference here is talking about Jesus Christ is witnessing to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had came to Christ by night. He was one of the rulers of the Judean nation there. And he came to him by night secretly and asked Jesus some questions. And Jesus is spreading the good news. Jesus is sharing the gospel with Nicodemus. And he's telling Nicodemus how to be saved. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he has made a way for your salvation. He has paid the price for your sins on the cross of Calvary. Lost friend, your sins have brought you condemnation, and they have brought you and placed you on that road to hell. But there is freedom from that condemnation. And it's only found through the provision of God's perfect Son, Jesus Christ. God's love for his chosen people was so great and marvelous that he sent his beloved one and only Son as a substitute to pay the high price for your sins by dying on the cross and shedding his innocent blood so that they might be forgiven, so that you might be forgiven of your sins and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What then must you do to obtain this blessed salvation? The only thing you can do is believe. Believe and trust in the Lord as your personal Savior. Cry out to God for mercy and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Call upon the name of Jesus for salvation. Jesus is the only name you can call upon for salvation. He is your only hope. The hymn writer penned these words that we often sing. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I am so thankful and blessed that the Lord is my salvation. Will you place your faith and trust in him today? Will you call upon the name of Jesus and ask him to be your Savior?